under the immigration law of most jurisdictions, including Fiji. The whole point of being, quote, permanent resident is that you are a permanent resident until a legal process has gone through. For example, you might have lied on your application forms, you might have submitted fraudulent documents, you might have concealed crimes overseas. But in the absence of a process that's either, shall we say, an appropriate legislative process or going to court, without knowing a bit more, the expulsion and deportation of a person with PR, permanent residency status, is outrageously illegal under the statutory regime of not only Fiji but other jurisdictions. And secondly, there are conventions, consular assistance, which all nations, to my knowledge, have taken part in, and individuals have a right to, under the law of each jurisdiction, to contact their consul or their embassy and to seek advice on their situation. That would include, for example, getting local legal advice, and undoubtedly local counsel in Suva would have gone to court to restrain illegal executive action.
Could there be any fallout or repercussions for Fiji diplomatically for refusing a U.S. citizen access to the U.S. embassy?
Well, certainly it's not a good look, and I think at the moment the U.S. State Department has other things on its mind, so I don't think Mrs. Seaton is going to be at the top of their agenda. But nevertheless, in theory, a please explain letter, I think, well, if she takes that route, if she complains to the Americans back in Washington, D.C., I would think at the least a please explain letter would be forthcoming from the American embassy in Suva.
This whole thing arose because she's been quite outspoken about the effect of changes to the Land Sales Act to freehold land that she, like a number of other overseas investors, have bought in Fiji. Did the Fiji government, do you think, realize what might happen with these changes to the act when they first brought it in?
My initial thinking of the statute is it's a legitimate concern for or against land speculation, idle land, overseas investors and overseas speculators. Well, for a start, she was a resident, not an overseas speculator, and it sounds like she's not one of the people that they were targeting. And there is a sort of a law, it's not on the statute books, but there is a law called the Law of Unintended Consequences, and it may be that she's been caught up as an innocent victim and not the original target of the land speculation legislation, which is common to New Zealand, certainly Australia more than New Zealand, but it's a concern in New Zealand as well. But it sounds like once she began to speak out, she became a target, not because she was holding land, but because she was speaking out about holding land. And I guess in Fiji at the moment, free speech is not one of the paramount values.
If, as you're suggesting, her deportation was illegal, could this be litigated in the Fiji courts? Could she perhaps launch some sort of legal action and perhaps come back to Fiji?
It's very hard for a person offshore to get back. I mean, that's why she needed assistance before she went, because it's much easier to be inside the jurisdiction kicking and screaming than outside pounding at the walls from outside. So practically, for all practical purposes, her remedies are diplomatic and through channels, rather than to try to get back into the court. But maybe the diplomatic channel could open a judicial avenue for her, but that would be ideal, and the diplomatic channel is political rather than legal. So I would, I'm thinking this is a very poor situation. It sounds like she may well be losing the value of her retirement paradise.